Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the issues that you face in life. Call right now, the number 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC, or the phone number 844-322-2742. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is just one of those incredible passages. It's one of the most beautiful chapters that has ever been penned in human history, and it's all about love. All about the love of God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Here, Paul is addressing the importance of love. He actually enters into this chapter with this statement saying, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." Well, what is the most excellent way? It's love. Doesn't matter what's out there in the world. There's many just stirring, inspirational things that are happening on a day-to-day basis, but all of those pale in comparison to the love of God that has been expressed to us in Jesus Christ. And here Paul says, even if you do some of those things, if you speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, you're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. There are many resounding gongs and clanging cymbals out there in the world today. We take notice of them, but they're missing something. They're missing the very substance of life, and that's love. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, that's something that we all pay attention to. All of those folks say, hey, I just had enough faith, and boy, this happened, and that happened, and just, you know, those stories just move us and touch us. But they really mean nothing if there's no love. And that's exactly what Paul said. And then he says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. There's lots of people that are choosing martyrdom as a way of getting into heaven. A lot of these suicide bombers, that's their motivation, that there's something waiting for me if I give my life, that will be a guarantee of eternal life. But if there's no love, then that's absolutely a futile exercise. And then Paul defines love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. What a statement to say that love never fails. And that's true as far as the love of God is concerned. It never fails. That's plan A. And in God's economy, there is no plan B. God is going to express his love to us in Jesus Christ. He's going to reach out to us in love. We're either going to receive that love or we're not. And if we don't receive that love, then there's no other option on the menu as far as our relationship with God is concerned. And it's interesting with this particular passage. All of these words are present active verbs. So we read them as adjectives, and that's a real lack in our translation capabilities. We just don't have the proper words to use to really capture the real meaning. But all of these are verbs, and they're present tense. They're happening now. So, for example, God is being patient with you right now. No matter what you're going through in life, and you may feel like God's a million miles away, you might feel like God isn't answering your prayers, you may be getting frustrated with that very situation. But in that frustration, you have to realize that God is being patient with you. that he is waiting and working all things together for good. Why? Because he knows your situation better than you know it. He understands who you are better than you understand yourself. So trust him on that. Let his patience work wonderful things into the situation. Sometimes we're not patient. We don't want to wait on the Lord. We want to get into action, and we want to press him. We want to push him. We want to make him do things for us in our timing. But our timing is not always the best. We have to realize that. God's timing is always perfect. It was perfect when he sent Jesus. Paul said, just at the right time, yeah. God sent Jesus. So when he works in our lives, we know it's just at the right time. The other interesting thing about this passage is that when we say to someone else that we love them, and we're talking about the love of God, we're not talking necessarily about a romantic love, although it certainly applies first and foremost in marriage. When I say to Gina, my wife, I love you, what I'm saying to her is that I'm going to be patient with her, I'm going to be kind to her, that I'm not going to envy or boast or be proud or be rude toward her. I'm not going to be self-seeking within that relationship. I'm not going to be easily angered. I'm not going to keep any records of wrongs. I'm not going to delight in evil, but I'm going to rejoice with truth. I'm always going to protect. I'm always going to trust. I'm always going to hope the best. I'm always going to persevere. When I say that simple three-word phrase, I love you, that this is what's involved in that. Mm-hmm. This is the substance, the essence of it. It's more than just a statement. It's more than just a feeling. Love is an action. Well, how can that love get into action in and through us? Well, we can't muster that up through human effort. We have to rely on the source of love, and that is Jesus Christ himself. As John wrote in his first letter, God is love. So we have to be attached to the source. We have to abide in the vine. And as we abide in the vine, we're going to see the fruit of love being expressed in us. Well, what is that? It is patience. It is kindness. It is perseverance. It is all of those things that are right here in this definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13.
That's a great subject, and friends, we'd love for you to join the subject right now. Give us a call, 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free number, of course, in the U.S. and in Canada. We want to hear from you, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are open right now. I think it was probably early last week when the issue of the giant lottery came into play, and we had several phone calls on the broadcast asking if Christians should be involved in that kind of thing, and we thoroughly discussed it at that time. However, since that time, we got a note from Clay, who lives in Hutto, Texas, and he gave a couple of opinions. I thought I'd just share them with you and see if you'd like to comment on them. This is from Clay, Hutto, Texas. He says, if a Christian shouldn't be gambling, then Christians shouldn't have life insurance. The Christian is betting they are going to die, and the insurance company is betting they won't. I personally think these types of do's and don'ts take away from the covenant of grace and drive Gentiles further away from God. What about dancing, wine at communion, or maybe healing? How about picking corn on the Sabbath? If I walk by faith each day, the Lord is made, and I don't think God has a problem with a believer buying a lottery ticket. I don't play it, but if I won and offered Basic Gospel $1 million of it, would you refuse it? Wonder who won the lottery at the base of the cross, and if that prize fit the winner. Love the program. Listen daily. That's from Clay in Hutto, Texas.
Well, Clay, you make some great points, and thanks for writing to us. And it gets to a broader subject. This question or his comments really aren't necessarily about playing the lottery. It's about all of these little issues that come up for each and every one of us. Every day there's something new that we face, that we encounter, and we have to step back and say, well, what am I supposed to do here? What's a Christian to do in this particular situation? And so we're always looking for, quote, a rule of thumb. We want that. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me how I should think about this, and that's what I'll adopt. That will be my policy for this particular situation. Well, in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we have His wisdom living inside of us. So we need a broader framework in which to think about these things. And I think the broader framework is the very love of God. What does the love of God say in these particular situations? And we have to trust the Spirit of God to reveal that to us. I think when we think about others and the needs of others, we allow those truths to then kind of, form some policies inside of us. Over the weekend, I was down in Florida. I did a wedding for my niece, and just one of the most joyful, happy occasions I've ever experienced. And it was just fabulous. But while I was down there, I met with some other people, some folks who are involved with this ministry, and I met somebody I'd never met before, and we engaged in a conversation, and we were just talking about the things of the Lord. And he said when he was a kid, he was talking to one of his buddies, and his buddy, 13-year-old boys, and you can imagine what 13-year-old boys are talking about. Well, I'm just going to throw it out there. It was sex. And this one guy said, I just can't wait to, have sex. And this gentleman said something came over him, and these words popped out, and he looked at the guy and said, are you going to get married someday in life? I said, yeah, plan to get married. I said, well, when you get married, are you going to have sex with other women after you get married? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. That wouldn't be right. He said, well, why would you have sex with other women before you get married? This doesn't make sense. And the guy said, now, I don't know if that helped my friend, but boy, that made an indelible impression on me. And all through life, I kept thinking, there's this woman out there. And just that love for that person that God was going to bring his way at some point kept him from all of the sexual temptations that follow a 13 and a 14 and a 17 and a 20-year-old boy.
And a 30 and a 40.
Yeah. So it wasn't this rule, I'm not going to have sex before I'm married. He didn't look at it from that perspective. He looked at it through the lens of love. There's this woman out there that's one day going to be my wife. Well, that's how we need to learn to think about things. What about others? And as we learn to think about others, then we can figure out how we should react or respond or act in these situations that come our way.
Yeah.
So how do we develop a policy of love that's just getting attached to the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
That's just learning how patient he is with us. That's learning how kind he has been with us and continues to be with us. It's just learning that he's not self-seeking and that he keeps no records of wrong. It's learning that he rejoices with truth. He always protects. He always hopes. He always perseveres with us. It's learning those things and coming to abide in those and rely on those things that we can learn to think through that lens of love in the situations that we encounter in day-to-day life.
Yes, indeed. I don't know how you bridged from a question on gambling and the lottery over to that, but that was really good. We have plenty of open lines right now. 844-32-BASIC. That's the number, 844-32-BASIC. We want to hear from you. And guys, we usually wait till later in the broadcast to talk about it, but we have an excellent conference coming up. It's called the Hear, Believe, Live Tour, coming up March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville, California. And I think it's going to be the place to be. We're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to talk about each aspect of this particular tagline, the Hear, Believe, Live tagline that you've heard so many times on Basic Gospel. So we want you to be there. All the information is available online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the Events tab. Or you can speak with Billy, our operator, during Central Time office hours, get the information, and even get registered by phone at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-412-2742. Bob, Richard, and I will be there, and we hope you will too.
Yes, indeed. And it's one of those things, we always have this question out there, what's my life really supposed to be like? And this conference helps answer that question. You know, what does Christian life look like? How are we to live it? You know, how am I to think on a day-to-day basis? Just what we were talking about there. This will provide the framework. This will give you kind of everything you need to live as Christ has called you to live. It really will let you know how your life is really supposed to be lived out as a Christian. So come join us. We would love to see you. Registrations are really starting to come in. So take advantage of this opportunity. It's the best value you will ever get. $19 a person, $29 a couple. You're not going to beat that anywhere. For some that will attend this who are struggling in marriages, this may save their marriage. For others that are having parenting issues, you know, they don't know how to deal with one of their children that is causing all kinds of trouble within the home. This could be the very thing that gives them the wisdom they need to handle that situation. Yeah. So don't sell this thing short. It can truly be life-changing in so many ways. Come join us March 7th, Valley Church, Vacaville, California. Can't wait to see you.
And again, the events tab is the place to click online at basicgospel.net or call and speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC.
Well, let's go and talk to Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hi, guys. You guys have known me for a long time, and I just want to share this on open radio. I trust this ministry explicitly because of the Word of God that comes from them. Been married for 44 years. I've discussed this with you, Bob, and with Richard. And your opening dialogue just really kind of knocked me to the floor. Because I have 1 Corinthians 13 is wonderful. And I know that as we rest in Christ, He walks that in and through us. However, I'm a miserable failure with my wife for 44 years. I know I'm forgiven, but brothers, this is the hardest thing that I face in my life, is that relationship with her and what you spoke, Bob, about what that, you know, I talked to her the other day. I said, Sherry, what do you expect to see? What do you need to see from me that will tell you that I love you? Not in an erotic way, not in a filial way, but in an agape way, I'm thinking. And you just laid it out for me right there. And I just need y'all's prayer that I will rest in that Sabbath rest and allow God to love my wife through me.
Well, Brad, we will join you in that. And I think anybody listening would be asking for the same prayer, including me. Relationships are difficult. That's why we remain so shallow in relationships. We don't want to dig deep. We really don't want to get to know others, and we don't want others to get to know us, because when we do, that's when love really has to take over for that relationship to survive and to grow and to flourish and to be what it can be in God's love. Because it's difficult to be patient. It is very difficult to be patient. Our battery of patience dies quickly. We have to recharge it daily. But that's not true with God. His battery never dries out. I mean, he's never at a loss for patience. Why? Because he's love, and being patient is a part of that. And I think, Brad, one of the key things in patience, for example, is this measure of understanding. You know, God is patient with us because He understands us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our flaws. He knows, you know, where we're going to make mistakes. He knows everything about us. And his patience is bigger than all of that.
Right.
And so he also knows that even in our mistakes, he can work those things together for good. So I think, you know, as far as being patient one with another, it takes a measure of understanding. It takes a measure of sympathy, a measure of empathy, being in that person's shoes and getting just a sense of what they're going through, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing. And when you do that, then you can be patient and more understanding, and that's going to make a world of difference within the relationship. So I think it's just when the Bible talks about thinking about others, it's thinking about their backstory, it's thinking about what they're going through, and then understanding that and then treating them accordingly.
Well, you know, I a lot of people have heard me on this broadcast expressing a lot of things that would lead people to know, and it is true. I can connect the dots. I understand the truth. I understand the message, and I just want people to understand that, you know, if they think, because I've got a real good friend who used to think, man, I'd love to be just like that guy because of my answers to you guys on the radio. But it's all not a bed of roses. I mean, I have great understanding.
And, well, it's something I said not too long ago on, I guess, our Facebook page or something, that articulating the doctrine of grace is totally different than living the life of grace.
You're so wonderful, Bob. Yeah. That's so true. But anyway, I'll get off, guys. Thank you very much. But just keep me in your prayers, and everybody that's listening, keep me in your prayers, because there's a lot of wounds and scars from, you know, on both sides of marriage. And it's not too late. And I thank you guys for bringing up the issue.
You're welcome, Brad. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate your vulnerability and your willingness to share. That takes some courage. And I hope many folks are listening to that, because that's real life. I mean, that's where we live each and every day. We need to know the love of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't just a nice saying to throw out there, God loves us. Well, you know, I think everybody in the world has had some sense that God loves them, but they don't know what that really means. They haven't seen the nitty-gritty of that, the detail of it, that God is actually patient, that God is actually kind, that God actually perseveres, that God actually thinks the best of us, wants the best for us, and he gets into action to bring those very things about. That's the love of God, and we need to hear that story day in and day out. We can never get enough of it. Why? Because that's the very essence of life, the matter of life, the substance of life. That's what makes this flat life of the world stand up and have some real meaning and purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a very, very heart-touching call from Brad. And Brad, we love you, brother. Thanks for calling. Friends, our heartfelt thanks to each of you who has supported Basic Gospel with your prayers and your financial gifts through the months and years, and to those of those of you who have just recently discovered Basic Gospel and have begun to give to support this outreach. It truly is a partnership, and your support is the fuel that keeps the message of the grace of God on the airwaves and online through Basic Gospel. We genuinely appreciate and need your ongoing support as we deliver the truth of God's Word to listeners, old and, well, maybe should I say seasoned, and you every day across the country and around the world. We hope you'll continue to help us get the word out via Basic Gospel. The online support link is always available in the menu at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or during Central Time office hours, you can call and speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-412-2742. Now, to help you remember the number, that's 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC. And may God richly bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. Also, don't forget that, you know, social media is a wonderful way to keep up with the ministry, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now, for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.